If you are returning to Genesis chapter 5, and with our Bibles open, we'll seek the help of God in prayer for our message this morning. Our gracious Father, we do thank you for that work amongst the boys and girls this week. For every face that was turned in our direction to hear the message of the gospel, we pray that that good seed will bring forth much fruit and will be evident in their lives, transformed by the grace of God through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that in days to come there will be even more opportunities to serve thee and to witness of Christ amongst the youth of this area. We pray in our Saviour's name. Now bless us as we come to thy word. May there be a message in season for our souls. May we come with the same enthusiasm as the children did during the week. May we be hungry for the word of God. And may we find ourselves nourished in the good seed of the gospel today. We pray in our Saviour's name. Amen. Now in Genesis chapter 5, the verse 21, we read of Enoch, who lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now over in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 11, that chapter that we know is the great gallery of faith, where the great saints of God of the Old Testament are named and listed for us, we read of Enoch in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. There we read that by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we come to Genesis chapter 5, one Bible commentator said that it is like walking through a cemetery, because there is an occurrence that happens over and over again as we read the chapter. We read these sobering words, and he died. And the chapter records birth after birth, but then we also find that there is awaiting each man an appointment set by God, the day of his death. And as has been said, the statistics on death are quite impressive, that one out of one die every time. We all will die. And a grave, wherever it is found, preaches a short and pithy sermon to the soul. We are reminded that our life is temporary, that death awaits us, and that it is a reality for each and every man, for the scriptures affirm that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. There is an exception to death. The Bible does speak of those who will not see death, that when the Savior returns in all of his glory, that there will be those upon the earth that are yet living who will be caught up with Christ and will escape death. But for the majority, I suppose, we are awaiting that coming appointment. It is said concerning Enoch in verse 24 of Genesis 5 that he was not, for God took him. That little phrase, was not, is explained in the words of Hebrews 11 and verse 5, that God translated him. In other words, instead of dying, like all of the other names that we find in Genesis chapter 5, God took Enoch up into heaven without passing through the doors of death. Only two people in the Bible did not see death: Enoch and Elijah, who was taken to heaven in a whirlwind in that chariot of fire. Now there will be a great multitude that in the future that will not see death. And if we happen to be alive upon the Savior's return, we might find ourselves numbered amongst them. But I want to take a few moments this morning to look at this man, Enoch, that was not. And there's a little phrase found in these verses that I want to base our remarks upon this morning. It's found in verse 24. It said that Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. You find the same expression also in verse 22, that he walked with God. I want to challenge you, as I challenge myself this morning, to ensure that we walk with God. Now, what can we say concerning this man Enoch and his walk with God? I think it's good to look at the conditions of his walk. We often hear today how a person's environment affects who they are and what they become. The behavior of some has often been excused or attributed to a less than fortunate upbringing, that their social environment impacts upon who and what they become. Personally, I believe that what a person does in their life is not so much to be attributed to their environment, but to the choices that they make. You can grow up in a neighborhood that's plagued with poverty and crime, and whether you get involved in those activities is down to the choices that you are individually responsible for. We ought not to be blaming society and upbringing for every ill in the life of man. And Enoch stands as an example of one who made the right choices in a less than favorable environment. According to the thinking of many, Enoch should have been a casualty to his environment. But because of the choices that he made to walk with God, his life is transformed. That's in spite of the conditions that we find all around him. Now, what were those conditions? Well, we see that there is a sinful majority. In those days when Enoch walked with God, we are reminded that these are the days prior to the flood, in the days of Noah. And those days are described by God in Genesis 6 and verse 5, that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So the days in which Enoch walked with God were extremely dark and depraved days. In fact, so dark and depraved were those days that God would eventually destroy the earth because of the wickedness of man. That's the society in which Enoch finds himself. You'll notice in verse 5 of Genesis 6 that God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The sinfulness of man was great. It had multiplied. Each man was getting worse and worse with each passing day. Each generation was worse than the one that preceded him. These were days in which men lived only for sinful pleasure. It was all that he thought about. Commenting on those words, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, Adam Clark said in his commentary, the very first embryo of every idea, the figment of every thought, the materials out of which perception and conception and ideas were formed were all supremely evil. The fountain which produced them, with every thought, purpose, wish, desire, and motive, was incurably poisoned. Every imagination of his heart was only evil continually. They lived for one desire and purpose only, and that was wickedness. In verse 11 of Genesis 6, we read that the earth also was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. The picture given to us in the scriptures was that the entire earth, or the majority of mankind, was corrupt before God. Every city, every town, every community was dominated by sin. Every human being on the face of the earth loved sin and lived for sin. There were, of course, a few exceptions. There was amongst that sinful majority a spiritual minority. While the whole population of the earth was given over to sin and the pursuit of it, there was a handful of people who knew God and served. There was a small remnant that was living for the Lord. And Enoch was one of those few who lived and walked with God. These weren't days in which you could find churches on every corner, or Christians in every town. To find someone who was serving God was very rare indeed. And Enoch's walk with God is special in that he walked with God in the midst of a society that is characterized by depravity and debauchery. So it's quite remarkable that he walked with God in a time when it was not convenient to do so, especially when he was only one in the midst of so many that were opposed to God and his ways. Sometimes we hear people say today of how hard it is to live for God in this time in which we live. I think it's always been hard to live for God. When you look at the saints down through the ages, there has always been difficulty. There has always been persecution and oppression. And yes, it may be difficult to live for God in the place where you work, or in the community in which you find yourself. And no doubt you find yourself as a minority. That the majority of people around you have no time for God. And the work environment in which you find yourself from day to day, that it's difficult to remain close to God. But Enoch's example shows us that one can be close to God even in the most adverse of circumstances. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst or in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, the darker the environment you find yourself in, the brighter your light will shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're living for the Savior the way that you ought to be, your light will shine in the darkness. The darker the day, the brighter your light will appear. As the sons of God, we are to live differently and distinctly from the world around us. Yes, we may be a very small minority, but Enoch reminds us that we can live for God even in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. So we see the conditions of his walk. I want us to think also about the cause of his walk with God. In Genesis 5 and verse 22, it says that Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah. He started walking with God after the birth of his son Methuselah. What was it that motivated Enoch to walk with God? Was it that family responsibility? That he walked with God after he begot Methuselah? Warren Wiersbe asked the question, did the responsibility of raising a son in such a godless world challenge Enoch? That he knew that he needed the Lord's help. Is it possible that when he held that newborn son in his arms and looked down into his face and thought about the world in which they lived, that he realized the importance of walking with God? Someone said that children have a much better chance of growing up if their parents have done so first. Our children have a much better chance of growing up and living for God if they have a godly example to follow. Scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. And the idea of training is of setting an example before them and having them copy and follow. If we're going to bring up a child in the way it should go, that's the way that we ought to be going also. I think of the words of Ephesians 6 and verse 4, that admonition that's given to fathers to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The way that we want our children to go is in the way of the Lord. Well, we have to show them the way. We have to be an example and a light to them. We have to show them the way of the Lord. We have to teach them. The word train, and in that verse, train up a child, means to catechize, to instruct them in the things of God. Open up the scriptures and read it and explain it to them. It's a way that's shown by example. People want to know if the Christian faith actually works. And one way that it can be shown is to observe it in the lives of others. Someone said that in the end, Christianity is not simply taught, it's caught. And if you haven't got it, they won't catch it. So I say to you all, and I say especially to myself, if you want our family to walk with God, then make sure you are walking with God. You want them to live for God, then you live for God. Christianity is not simply a direction that we point others to go. It's the way that we go ourselves and encourage others to come with us. I think of what Moses said to Hobab, his father-in-law. He said, come thou with us, and we will do thee good. Live for God, get right with God, and cause others to follow after. Was it that family responsibility that motivated Enoch to walk with God? What is interesting is that when you enter into the New Testament and the book of Jude, in Jude, verses 14 and 15, it says that Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against. Enoch, it seems, was a preacher of righteousness. Enoch declared to his generation that the Lord was going to come with judgment upon the ungodly. That's why he named his son Methuselah. If you have a margin in your Bible, it may tell you that the name Methuselah means, when he dies, it shall come. He looked into the eyes of his newborn baby boy, and when his name was asked, he said, I shall name him Methuselah, because when he dies, it shall come. If you do your sums, you'll find that the name of Methuselah is connected to the coming flood of judgment upon the world. That the death of Methuselah would usher in that day of judgment upon the wickedness of the world. And the birth of Enoch's son contained a revelation for the future. And perhaps it's that realization that there's a coming day of judgment that called Enoch to see the great need that he personally walk with God. If there's one thing that should motivate the Christian to walk with God, it is the realization that Jesus Christ is returning. In 1 John 3 and verse 2, John says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If we have that hope, that expectancy that Jesus Christ is returning, that we shall be gathered unto him and made like unto him. Every man that has this hope, John said, purifies himself. Knowing that there is a day of judgment that is coming, that the hour is drawing nigh, that the stage of this world is being set for our Lord's return, if there is ever a time when a Christian should be walking humbly with God, it is now. Because we know, as Enoch knew, that there is a day that is coming when God himself shall appear and judge the nations of this earth. This is a day for walking humbly before God. Our Savior is returning. He's not coming as a being to be laid in a manger in Bethlehem. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming to execute judgment upon all that have refused and rejected him. And he's coming to reward those that are waiting for him and trusting in him. These are days to be walking with God. I want you to notice, thirdly, not just the conditions of his walk or the cause of it, but the conclusion of his walk with God. It says, concerning Enoch, that he walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch began a walk with God that lasted for 300 years. 3 centuries would pass and Enoch would continue to honor and to serve God. He walked with God 300 years. When we look at our own testimony and our own life of faith, sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. One day we're in, the next day we're out. We're on and we're off. What a blessing it is to see those who walk with God day in, day out. Do you not think there were days in the course of those 300 years in which Enoch was discouraged? He lived in a society that was hostile toward the things of God. I have no doubt that there were discouraging days in his life. Yet he continued to walk with God. The tense of those words, that he walked with God, indicates that he purposed to walk each day with God. This was his determined ideal, that each day that God gave him, he would live for him, and work for him, and walk with him. He was going to walk with God each day. He has made that decision. He has purposed in his mind, he is going to walk with God, and when he made that choice, we might say that he burned all the bridges behind him. This was a choice that he had made, not just for today, but for every day. I think of the words of the little song, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back." That was Enoch's decision. And Hebrews 11 verse 5 tells us that he had this testimony, that he pleased God. He is known as a man who walked with God and pleased the Lord in all that he did. And his faithfulness over the course of those 300 years have removed any doubt of whom he served or where he stood or the kind of testimony that he had. We're told in verse 24 that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I believe it was Campbell Morgan who said that one day, as Enoch and the Lord walked together, that at the close of the day, the Lord said, "Enoch, you're closer now to my house than yours. Why don't you come home with me?" There was a moment when Enoch was present on the earth, and the next he was not. Hebrews tells us that by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Instead of dying like all the others around him, Enoch did not see death. Matthew Poole says that his translation was God's own testimony that Enoch walked with him and pleased him in all he did. God took him. So pleased was God with Enoch that he brought him to heaven, but not through the doorway of death. He was translated straight into the presence of God. There is coming a day. As Paul said to the church in Thessalonica, that we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with Christ. I think the church has always lived with the expectancy that those days would be seen in their lifetime, and I suppose we are no different. Certainly as we look upon the world, as the stage is being set and the principal characters being moved into place, we are left to think that surely the time cannot be long before our Savior returns. Could it be that in our lifetime that we will see the return of our Savior? I can't answer that question. No man knows the day or the hour of the Savior. But I tell you what we ought to do. We live and walk each day with the expectancy that Christ could be returning today. That our walk with God will not be one in which we are found at a distance from Him upon the day of His appearing. We want it to be a day in which we are walking humbly before our God, and that we hear that voice as Enoch heard it, "Come up higher." Oh, that we would live each day for the Lord's glory, and like Enoch, walk with God Oh, that we might walk with him and bear the same testimony as Enoch had, that he pleased God. To the Lord, take this simple message and cause us to think upon it and to purpose in our hearts to walk before him in faith and in obedience all the days that he would give us for the glory of his name. Amen.